This evening we want to continue what we've been studying about Jesus Christ. We went through a couple of lessons when we were looking at Christ in his childhood. And then we've been moving on really into what is now a bit of a series concerning Christ before he came to this earth. And we looked at in our prior study or lesson in this series, the first one, 2 weeks ago, Sunday evening, looking at Christ's existence, how it's from everlasting, how he was with the Father in the beginning, and how the Father created all things by him, how Christ was with the Father from before the creation, and how he is eternal from everlasting to everlasting. We looked at several times in the Old Testament where the Hebrew word Yahweh, Jehovah, meaning the eternal or self-existent one, is used in reference to Christ a number of times in prophecy, especially in the book of Isaiah. We went through several of those, as well as other scriptures showing that Christ was the creator, that he was not created, and that he is the first begotten from the dead in his resurrection. But his existence goes back before the foundation of the world from everlasting, and he will be to everlasting. So we studied about that last time, and we want to pick it up from there because we do know from what we already studied that all things were created by him. That was something we saw in those first three verses of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then he tells us all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There was not a single thing created that did not involve Christ. The Father created all things by him. We saw that also in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. We've seen that in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. A number of statements in the New Testament describe how the Father created all things using his Son, and there was not a single part of the creation that the Father directed without using his Son in it. And so Christ is creator. And we see, though, that from that point, we don't just have a blank or a gap between the creation and where we then know that Christ was born into this world, came to this world, born of Mary, and then physically was made like us in all ways, and then lived his life on this earth for 33 years, and was then crucified and buried and resurrected and ascended to heaven. There's much about that, of course, in Scripture, as well as what he's doing with his authority sitting at the right hand of God now. A lot for us to consider about that. But what about between the creation and his coming to this earth? Well, that's really encompassing the Old Testament period, not just the Old Covenant, the Law of Moses, but that entire period that's in those 39 books of the Old Testament, right up into the book of Matthew. So what about during all that time? What was Christ doing then, or do we have any information about that? And we do have some interesting bits of information taught in Scripture in the Old Testament concerning Christ. So that's what we want to focus on tonight, studying about Christ, what we read about him in the Old Testament. We do have some New Testament verses to look at that also shed further light on it. But let's go to the very first book of the Bible, to the book of Genesis. Now we know in chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And we know that Christ was with the Father at that time. We also have that bit in Genesis chapter 11 where God has made the decision when they were making the tower there in Babel to confuse the languages of men. And that is also spoken of in the we, in the plural. So we have that bit that we know about in the book of Genesis in chapters 1 and 11. But if we turn to Genesis chapter 18, we start to see how the Lord worked with his faithful children on this earth in the Old Testament period, including the what we know of or describe as the patriarchal age, the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the sons of Israel, and everything all up into Moses. During that period of time, was the Lord with his children? Yes. And was he active and was he involved in any of their dealings? And of course he was. But we also see in Genesis chapter 18 a very interesting situation with Abraham. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 18 of Genesis that the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So here's a statement that the Lord appears to Abraham there in the plains of Mamre. Well, how did the Lord do that? What more do we read about here in Genesis 18 of this appearance of the Lord? Now, Abraham, as he looks up in verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And then verse 17, it says, And the Lord, and there's the word Yahweh, Jehovah, said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Now, how many men appeared to him on this occasion? How many did he see when he lifted up his eyes? Three men. Where are they going? Well, here it says they looked and they set their face or looked towards Sodom. And then Jehovah says, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? What was he going to do? Why were they looking towards Sodom? What was about to happen? Guess what happens in the next chapter? The Lord is about to bring destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked cities of the plain. Was he going to hide from Abraham what he was about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? Now here the Lord was going to reveal his plans to his righteous and faithful servant Abraham. This does remind us of something that Jesus Christ said in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, when he said, Greater love hath no man. This is in starting in verse 13 of John 15. Keep your mark there in Genesis 18. But Jesus said in John 15:13, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. What is one of the characteristics of friendship? A friend is going to inform a friend what they're going to do. They're going to reveal secret things to their friends, not to their servants. But Jesus was dealing with his disciples there as friends and called them such. Now, what was Abraham called by God? Abraham was called the friend of God. Of course, we're told that in the book of Genesis in chapter 15 and verse 6. It's repeated in James 2, verse 23, how Abraham was called the friend of God. Well, looking at that characteristic of friendship that Jesus brought up in John 15, does it not make sense that Jehovah would say, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? because Abraham is the friend of God. God is going to inform, is going to reveal a secret thing to his faithful and righteous servant Abraham. He's going to tell him ahead of time what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And here are these three men there. Now, two of those men are going to proceed onward to Sodom and Gomorrah, because in chapter 19 and verse 1, what happens? Of course, Lot, Abraham's nephew, lives there. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, it tells us in Genesis 19 and verse 1. Of course, that would fit that those two angels are two of the three beings that are with Abraham in chapter 18, that are looking towards Sodom, and they proceed onward to Sodom, and they go to Lot's door. But two of them do. Well, who's the third one? Well, that's the interesting thing here. In verse 17, Jehovah is speaking and says, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?" Is Jehovah present with Abraham here? Well, that's what it said in verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham there in the plains of Mamre. And in verse 18, why would God reveal his secret things to his servant Abraham? Why was Abraham called the friend of God? Verse 18, the Lord says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the two proceed onward, those two, and what are they? Those beings, those are two angels. The other remains behind in a discussion with Abraham, and that being is described with that word Jehovah, Yahweh. So here is Jehovah making an appearance to Abraham and discussing, revealing what he's about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah as he sends the two angels onward as they're preparing to do what the Lord had in mind for them to do. And so then this discussion takes place between Abraham and God, as Jehovah is there with him. And in verse 23, Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Who is he saying this to? He's saying this to Jehovah, who's there with him in the presentation of, or the appearance, as a man, because those three men appear to Abraham there. But this, well, this one being that remains here is actually an appearance of Jehovah. That's what he tells us. Of course, then we have to ask, who, when it speaks of Jehovah, is this? Now, is this the Father? We can go ahead and ask that. No, this is not the Father himself. Has any man seen the Father? No. But what about Christ? Has Christ made an appearance here as a man in speaking directly with Abraham? I mean, that's certainly an interesting question as we look at the evidence here. And so this discussion proceeds. Abraham drew near, said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." Does Abraham understand who he's talking to? He does. But he continues on. And he spake again unto him yet again, verse 29, and said, "Peradventure there shall be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Jehovah left after he finished communing, he was talking with Abraham. So here's an appearance of Jehovah to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, appearing in the form of a man to him. But Abraham discerns who this is that he's speaking to on this occasion. Well, this fits in with many things that follow from there as we go forward to Exodus chapter 3. And I know we're moving into ahead in time, even though it's one book of the Bible that we're moving ahead. We're actually moving ahead in about 400 years to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, where it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So there he appears to him out of that burning bush, tells him to take off his shoes because that place is holy ground where he's standing at that moment. We're going to see very similar words in Joshua chapter 5 to that we want to look at in a moment when Joshua was about to lead the children of Israel in the attack upon the city of Jericho. And the captain of the Lord's host is going to appear to Joshua then. That's another thing we want to look at in a few minutes, Lord willing. But here we see that appearance in Exodus chapter 3. In chapter 14, Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20, it says, For the house of the... let's see... Somehow ended up in the wrong chapter. There we go. I was in chapter 15. Exodus 14, 19 and 20. It says, And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Well, here it says the angel of God was the one going before the camp of Israel there. Well, we saw that same word, messenger of God in chapter 3 that appeared to Moses out of the burning bush, but told him that ground was holy. A statement that we don't see from any of the appearances of what we think of classically as the angels. Again, this word is messenger. Usually it is applied to what we think of as an angel, one of the angels of God, who are, according to Hebrews 1 verse 7, created beings, not Christ or not deity. But here we see this angel of God, this messenger of God, who was going before the children of Israel in that pillar of the cloud and fire that was there with them. Just keep that in mind as we look at a couple of other references along these same lines to consider, well, who is this messenger? Is this a regular angel, or is this a being that's not what we would consider a regular angel? Is this actually another appearance of deity on the earth to God's children? Well, let's look further. Chapter 23, verses 20 through 23 of the book of Exodus. Here God speaks to Moses and says, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. My name, my authority is in this messenger that would be there before the children of Israel. And he says, But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. God speaks and says, I'm going to have a messenger go before you. He's going to be the one to lead you in and destroy your enemies. But you better obey him because my authority is in him. And again, we ask the question, who is that? Well, chapter 32, let's go to Exodus 32 and read verse 34. There the Lord says, "Therefore now go lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." So there again, the Lord is making reference to that messenger of His that would go before the children of Israel and with Moses. Chapter 33, verses 1 and 2, here in Exodus. "The Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." Just reading, I want to go through all these just to see how the Lord repeats this in the same context, speaking of this same being, this messenger that He was going to send. And then in the same chapter, Exodus 33, starting in verse 11, it says, "Then the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stones like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. So here it says the Lord appeared to Moses, and Moses falls down and worships him. So this is an appearance again of deity now to Moses. And as we keep reading about this messenger that God was going to send, well, Moses is getting a glimpse of him, at least the back parts of him. And if we turn to the book of Numbers now, to chapter 20 and verse 16, we'll see a further reference to him. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 16. "And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost part of thy border." So there's a reference again to what God had done to send this messenger to lead them, leading them out of Egypt, going to lead them into Canaan. Now remember that messenger, God promised that he would be the one to go before the children of Israel and drive out their enemies. So as they cross the Jordan River, when Joshua leads them into the land of Canaan, who was the first enemy, or what was the first city in Canaan that they were going to be fighting against? That was Jericho. And on the eve of that battle, which is recorded in Joshua chapter 6, in Joshua chapter 5, we have an appearance of a being to Joshua. This is what we were referring to a while ago. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Notice those words identical to what we saw in Exodus chapter 3 when this messenger of the Lord appeared to Moses there. As we see repeatedly reference to this messenger of the Lord that would lead the children of Israel. And here is this one coming to Joshua now appearing. And as Moses worshiped this being that we just read in Exodus 34, Joshua falls down and worships this being. In either case, do we hear that being say, Get up off your feet, I'm an angel. Like was said to John in the book of Revelation on two occasions when there was an angel of the Lord, as we think of them, John fell down to worship and he said, don't do it. He says, I'm of their fellow servants. I'm an angel. And we're not to worship angels. Did that apply here? We don't see those words in Exodus 34 or here in Joshua 5 with this being. And we see this being also like the one in Exodus who spoke to Moses saying, take off your shoes. This is holy ground that you're standing upon. And he worships this being. Well, who is this one that was with Israel? We read another reference in Isaiah 63:9. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9, looking back on these days. He says, In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. So here's this angel of the Lord's presence that was with them all that time. Well, who was this angel of the Lord's presence that was with Israel, that appeared to Moses, that appeared to Joshua? Well, it helps us when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. So here in the New Testament, as we see many other times, where the New Testament will give some explanation and give us some additional information that is not necessarily contained exclusively within the Old Testament. Well, that shouldn't surprise us because God is the author of it all. It's the same being that has inspired all of those words, whether Old or New Testament. And sometimes he's going to make things more clear in the New Testament, even things of events that took place in the Old. And we're going to have some real clarity here to what we are reading in those situations a moment ago from the Old Testament. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now that word is immerse. And you think about as they passed through the Red Sea, the waters were a wall on either side as the sea had parted. They were walking on the ground and then the cloud was over them. So were they fully immersed or encompassed as they were going through? They were. And that's why he uses the word immersed there. That were baptized. So they were immersed under the cloud and through the sea. And in verse 3 says, And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Was Jesus Christ used by the Father in the Old Testament with the children of Israel to lead them out of Egypt, to lead them into Canaan? As his captain to drive out the enemies before them to fulfill his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says that rock was Christ. It's very interesting to see that. So there were appearances that Christ made as he was the one used by God with God's authority in him as he used Christ in his work to lead the children of Israel. Very interesting to see those scriptures explaining those things. Later, of course, we know that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth, not in the way that he was sent in those occasions in the Old Testament, but he was sent to this earth to be born into this world like we are, made like us in all points, to live his life on this earth as God sent him to live it. But it's interesting to see those appearances that Christ made in the Old Testament. The Father was using His Son in His work during all that time, well, the same God who used His Son to create all things and later sent Him to this earth to fulfill His will and His plans, should it surprise us that the Father would also use His Son in the work that He was doing throughout the Old Testament period, particularly on behalf of His righteous servants and the ones that He made those promises to? That shouldn't be a surprise to us. So the Son had a work in the creation. The Son had a work by God throughout the Old Testament period. And we're given glimpses of that in those passages that we were able to read. But then comes His birth into this world of Mary and those things that we studied about His childhood. And of course, then He lived His life fully on this earth, tempted like as we are in all points, but yet without sin, as He was made like us in all ways. And He's there now to be our helper as our high priest in heaven, as He was resurrected and given all authority in heaven and earth by God and sitting at God's right hand. We want to study some more about Christ, particularly as He is fulfilling the plans of God. And we want to look at heaven's arrangement as far as authority is concerned, and looking at before Christ came into the world, while He was here, and what the situation is now, the arrangement is now with Christ at God's right hand, and what is to be. So all those things as it relates to God's plans, as it relates to the authority arrangement in heaven, those things that God speaks of there, because that can be very helpful to us in dealing with certain issues and questions. And so that's what we want to go into, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. So we encourage you to be back then as we will try to take this road down to the next step in our study. But we appreciate everybody being here tonight for this, and we want to take this moment in time to extend the Lord's invitation now to anyone that is here that needs to obey the gospel of Christ, to become a Christian by believing in Christ and confessing your faith in Him before men, that He is God's Son, and then repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We desire you to do that now. The Lord is the one that's encouraging you to come now to Him at this time to do that, so you can be saved from your sins. If you are a Christian, if you need to repent and come back to Him, if you've gone astray, you may also do that at this time. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation now, please do so while we stand and sing together.